The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
The Awakening by Kate Chopin, dramatized for radio by Janice Oko, with Pippa Bennett-Warner, P.J. Brennan, and Guy Paul.
Mr. Pontellier, he a wealthy businessman, and he liked the best of everything.
Good afternoon, Madame Rotignol.
He have a big old house in New Orleans, smoke the best cigars, and when he be on Grand Isle, he have the best cottage.
I hope you're not going to spend all afternoon reading, Mr. Pontellier. That newspaper has to be at least a day old.
News is news, Madame Rotignol.
He ain't like other Creoles, because Creoles be easy and free.
Well, your boys are with mine at the beach, so I hope you come join.
Oh, it would be folly to go down in this heat.
Of course it's folly. I, of all people, know it's folly, but that's where everyone is. Ah, Celestine. You don't mind if I use your girl, do you?
Of course not.
Madame Rotignol be in the mothering way. It be her fifth, but she hop on about it like she the Virgin Mary.
Yeah? Celestine, carry this umbrella down to the beach. It's such a cumbersome old thing.
Yes, ma'am.
No lifting and no bonbons, the doctor says, or I'll get fat.
You, Madame Rotignol?
And I believe Mr. Pontellier, he have a soft spot for the woman because she plump and fair. And near on perfect, just like the Virgin Mary.
Well, do join us once you finish your paper.
Perhaps. If I can find somewhere to read.
You must, or your wife and children will forget you exist. Come along, Celestine.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Though them Creoles be easy, it be hard to know what they really be thinking.
Well, I think you've improved considerably, Mrs. Pontellier.
Robert.
Didn't I promise I'd always tell you the truth?
I've survived 28 years without being able to swim. I'm sure I'll survive a few more.
Mrs. Pontellier, she be different. She American, though them said she had some French blood in her.
I have every confidence you'll be swimming like a porpoise by the end of the summer. If you're not, then I shall give up my cigarettes for an entire year.
And although she marry a Creole, she still be prim and proper.
But you can't give up your cigarettes.
I know. Do you have enough shave?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Robert, he younger than her. He a gentle and handsome boy and have a lot of patience. That's why he still be teaching her, long after everyone else grown tired.
That cloud reminds me a little of old Monsieur Farival.
Oh, which one?
There, above that tree.
Huh. Oh, I see his whiskers.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robert, he never grow tired.
How'd it go, dear?
Robert thinks I'm making progress.
She is. Just a few more sessions.
Well, more than a few, Robert.
Mrs. Pontellier.
I shall say no more on the matter. Oh, mercy, it's hot.
You're burnt beyond recognition. Teach her daybreak, Lebrun.
I'd better get the children.
Yes, let's go find them. We shall leave your husband to his paper.
Oh, no bother. I'm just about done with it. Cigar?
Oh, well, thank you. I'll save it for after dinner this evening.
Have one for after dinner as well.
Oh, thank you, but I'll just have my cigarette for now.
As you will. Well, I have half a mind to go down to Klein's and play a game of billiards. You coming, Lebrun?
I'd prefer to stay here and talk.
Well, send him about his business when he bores you, Edna.
I will. Oh, here. Take the umbrella or you'll burn.
Oh, thank you. I think I might.
Will you be back for dinner?
I'll see.
There are a good many clubmen up at the hotel today.
Well, he still might.
Will you tell me more about your life in Kentucky, Mrs. Pontellier?
Oh, there's nothing else to say.
Well, were you grave or gay as a child? I imagine you were quite solemn.
Yes, I was. Well, after my mother died, I was quite close to her.
But not your father?
Oh, no. No, none of us are. He's very regimented, my father.
Hmm. Mine was quite liberal.
Yes. I imagine you had quite a free childhood growing up on this island.
Robert's father passed when he young, and his mother, she make the place a resort because she left with no income.
I'd better go and get the boys.
Yes.
Oh, Leonce has the umbrella.
I shall find you one.
No, wait, you'll get burnt.
No, I won't.
When Mr. Pontellier come back that night, he in high spirits like he always be when he mix with those big old clubmen.
You awake? Edna? Dear, you awake?
Mm-hmm.
Club was busy tonight. Although I managed a few games of billiards. Won quite a sum. Edna?
Mm-hmm.
I won at billiards tonight.
Very good, dear.
Did you see to the children before you retired? Edna?
Mm?
Did you see to... Oh, never mind. I'll do it myself.
The children asleep when Mr. Pontellier enter, and I know he playing with her because he in one of his moods.
Edna, Raul has a fever. He needs looking after.
Raul? He went to bed perfectly well. Nothing ailed him all day.
I am too well acquainted with fever symptoms to be mistaken. Now, are you going to lie there while your child is consuming in the next room?
No. Of course not.
You just don't pay enough attention to the children, and I don't like it. Well, do you expect me to be in two places?
What's the trouble, ma'am?
No trouble, Celestine. You go back to sleep.
Children are just fine, man.
Yes, I know.
Well, how is he? Edna?
But she don't say nothing. She just go outside.
If you're going out, blow out the lamp.
After that night, I see a shadow linger over Mrs. Pontellier, like she troubled. She don't know why.
So, has your sister set a date for her wedding?
Yes, it's the 17th of November.
Oh, and what are you getting her?
Oh, I don't know yet, but whatever it is, Leonce will choose it. He has far better taste than me.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't.
Now, hush, and let her concentrate on the sketch.
Edna, are you sure you don't want me to do something with my hands? Some sewing, perhaps?
Oh, quite sure.
Whom did you get your talent from, Mrs. Pontellier? Your mother or your father?
Oh, hush, and let her concentrate.
Well, I wouldn't call it a talent. I simply enjoy doing it.
And I get my business head from my father, Mrs. Pontellier.
You know, I think it's remarkable what your mother's done with this resort.
Well, if my father were alive, this place would still be our family summer residence. Once I make my fortune in Mexico...
In Mexico? Robert's been talking about making his fortune in that place for as long as I can remember.
It's such a pity you can't sketch the cruelty beneath the fair exterior, Mrs. Pontellier.
What did he say?
She used to treat me like an adoring dog. Robert, come. Robert, go. Robert, get my thimble.
I never had to ask. You were always there under my feet.
As soon as Ratignolle appeared on the scene, then it was passé. Allez-vous-en.
Perhaps I thought my husband would be jealous.
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat.
How easily you forget Mademoiselle Duvin.
Well, who was Mademoiselle Duvin?
Robert lived in her shadow for two seasons before me. But she died between summers. He was inconsolable.
Until you took pity upon me, reigniting my soul.
Go away.
Oh, mais ce n'est pas mal.
Bears no resemblance to her at all.
Oh. Let me see. Oh, that was quite right. But it's still a very satisfying piece of... Oh.
What?
Oh.
What?
Robert, quick, the fan.
The fan.
All right, please stop. No more fuss.
Would you like some more cologne, Adele?
I'm fine, really, no. Oh, I better go in search of my little darlings. They'd be wondering where I am.
I'll accompany you.
Yes,
I'll... fine. Stay. Both of you. I shall see you after lunch.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, shall we go for your lesson?
I'm tired. I think not.
Oh, but the sea's calling you. Can't you hear it? Mrs. Pontellier, come and bathe. Come and bathe.
Oh, where did I put my sun hat?
But even though she's sad, I believe Mrs. Pontellier become close with some of them Creoles that summer.
He confuses you.
Well, I try to say no to him, but so often I find myself saying yes. I am firm with my children, but with Robert,
I please for her, because them Creoles be encouraging her to be free.
Edna, before Léonce, was there ever...
No.
Oh.
No one of consequence. Well, there was a cavalryman who used to visit my father. And then there was my neighbor's fiancé. I adored him. I was 13. But I soon realized I was nothing to him.
Well, childish infatuations are irrelevant.
I had another when I was 23. He was a famous tragedian.
He was famous, Cherie?
Oh, I never met him. I'd simply kiss his portrait when I was alone in my study.
Oh, Edna!
I was obsessed with him, Adele. And then, of course, I met Léonce.
And now he's your great passion.
Passion is childish infatuation.
Nonsense. Oh, let's sit here. Now, where are those bonbons Léonce sent you from New Orleans?
Oh, here.
You can't tell me your husband isn't the best in the world.
Raoul! Etienne, please don't venture further than the awning.
I've got my eye on them, ma'am.
Robert, where are my boys?
Playing croquet with their father.
And how is my pretty belle fille? Oh,
she's been an angel.
Oh, give her to me.
There she is.
Hello, ma chérie.
Now, you remember what Dr. Mendeley said.
Oh, Dr. Mendeley is an old fool. Well, I'd better join Alphonse. Can I take your girl, Edna?
Yes, of course.
Celestine, take the baby.
Come here, little one.
Oh, thank
you. Go.
Robert, would you?
Oh, of course. No.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I see Mrs. Pontellier watching them walk up to the house as she go tend to her chillin'.
Well, I suppose you want to know about the letter Alsace-Robin wrote to the consul's wife at Biloxi, huh?
Will you do me a favor, Robert?
Well, as many as you like.
Let Mrs. Pontellier alone.
Well, I think you're jealous.
Oh, nonsense. But she's not one of us. She might make the unfortunate blunder of taking you seriously.
You're wrong, Adele. I don't think Mrs. Pontellier will ever take me seriously.
But I see Mrs. Pontellier still watching them. Watching till they long disappear. Mrs. Pontellier say it a magical night, the night she managed to swim. It be several weeks she and Mr. Pontellier be on Grand Isle when Madame Lebrun decide to hold a big old soiree for all her guests.
Edna, Cherie!
Yes, Adele?
Please go and rescue my husband from Madame Lebrun before the next dance.
Of course.
My wonderful guest, sit down and catch your breath. Mademoiselle Reese, if you would.
You don't mind if I sit here, Madame Ratignon?
Oh, not at all.
Mademoiselle Reese be old and shabby looking, and no one like her because she always complaining. The soup too cold, the chilling too noisy. But, well, when the woman play...
How did you get her to play?
Well, it was Robert who asked her.
I should have guessed. What an artist.
Yes. Such a pity she's so disagreeable.
But everyone know Madame Lebrun upset with the woman because she hear the old lady say her fish be dry.
What's wrong with Mrs. Pontellier?
Oh, I don't know.
Pontellier, was my music to your liking?
Oh, Mademoiselle Reese.
Why, there now. You, Miss Pontellier, are the only one here worth playing for.
I don't understand.
You hear the truth, ma belle.
Are you all right, Edna?
She's fine, Madame Ratignolle. She's perfectly fine.
It's nothing. It was the music. I felt like I was... that it took me along with it.
Oh, yes. Well, it was magnificent.
Is everyone leaving? Somehow I don't want this night to end.
Madame Lebrun, where's everyone going?
Robert has had the genius idea of a moonlight bathe.
Oh!
Yes, sir, she say it a magical night, that the moon full and the air smell of warm blossom as she lift herself to the surface.
It's nothing. Oh, why didn't I discover this before?
Swimming and swimming, paying no mind to nothing but the waves of the sea, till she grow weary and she fear for herself.
Bravo, Edna!
Well done, dear.
I thought I should have perished out there alone.
Oh, you were not so very far, my dear. I was watching you.
Well, where's Robert?
Oh, he's somewhere around. Sit down, Cherie.
I think I shall get changed and go back to the cottage.
But it's still early.
Yes, but I'm quite tired.
Oh. I'll join you soon, dear.
Well, good night, then.
Oh, good night, my Cherie. And well done.
Mrs. Pontellier! Let me come with you.
I'm not afraid to walk back alone.
I know. I told you you'd be swimming in a few weeks.
Don't you have somewhere else to be? Apart from my lessons, you always seem to have somewhere else to be lately.
Here, take my arm.
No, thank you.
Mademoiselle Reese spoke highly of you tonight.
Don't see why. I hardly know the woman, but she seemed...
What?
Well, familiar. Or at least... Oh, I don't know. I'm tired. What with all the music and swimming? It's been a strange night.
It's because it's the 28th of August.
The 28th?
Mm-hmm. At midnight on the 28th of August... And if it's a full moon, a spirit rises up from the gulf and seeks someone mortal worthy of being exalted for a few hours into the realms of the semi-celestials. And tonight, he's found Mrs. Pontellier. Perhaps he will never entirely release her from the spell. Perhaps she will never again suffer a poor, unworthy earthling to walk in the shadow of her divine presence.
Don't banter with me.
That was never my intention. I'll light the lamps for you.
No, don't. I want to stay out here in the hammock.
I'll get you a pillow.
Oh, no, there's one here.
Well, it must be soiled. The children were throwing it about.
No matter.
Shall I stay with you until Mr. Pontellier comes?
If you wish.
Are you cold?
No.
Well, how long are you going to stay out here?
I don't know.
Did you say I should stay until your husband came back?
I said you might if you wish to.
I see him sitting, smoking, and her gently swinging. Them both aware. So aware of each other's senses that they never once felt the need to speak.
Sometimes I think your wife is a little capricious.
She can be.
Why don't you go to the Chenier tomorrow? Beaudelaire takes you across the bay, and once you land, you'll see all the islanders, and of course, the church is simply beautiful. It's a nice thing to do together.
I'll most certainly think about it. Good night.
Mrs. Pontellier be all alone when Mr. Pontellier return to the cottage, because Mr. Robert leave quick when them hear footsteps.
Are you asleep?
No.
Well, it's past 1 o'clock. Come on. Let's go in. Edna?
I'm fine out here.
But you'll take cold out there.
It isn't cold.
Well, now, what folly is this? The mosquitoes will devour you.
There aren't any mosquitoes.
Course he in a mood, and I hear him slamming drawers like he have no care for waking the chillin'.
Are you not coming in soon?
I am going to stay out here.
Well, I can't permit you to stay out there all night. You must come in this house instantly.
If you speak to me like that again, I shall not answer you.
And when he open one of his fine wines, I know for sure it gonna be a long all night.
Would you like a glass?
No, thank you.
He must have smoked near on 3 cigars before she give in.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Are you coming in?
Yes, dear. Just as soon as I finish my cigar.
Mrs. Pontellier, she be up early the next morning.
Celestine.
Mrs. Pontellier, what is it?
Shh.
She have a look in her.
Go up into the house and wake Robert. Tell him I'm going to the Chenier. Tell him to be quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you sleep well last night?
No. Did you?
No. Too many thoughts. Too many dreams.
Yes. Strange dreams.
I hear they sit close in Beaudelaire's lugger, paying no mind to no one else, whispering like they lovers.
Let's go to Grande-Terre tomorrow. Climb up the hill to the old fort.
We can watch the snakes writhe about among the ruins.
Or we can sail to the Bayou Brulot.
No, we'll go to Grande-Terre first.
You afraid of the pirogue?
No. I love being on the water.
Then I'll take you in mine at night when the moon shines. And maybe your ghost spirit will whisper to you in which one of these islands the treasures are hidden. Direct you to the very spot, perhaps.
I'd give it all to you. I think you'd know how to spend it.
Well, it's not a thing to be hoarded.
No.
It's something to squander. We can squander it together.
We'll throw it into the sea.
When Beaudelaire bring all the guests back from the Chenier, without Mrs. Pontellier and Mr. Robert, Mr. Pontellier say he want to cross the bay.
Where did you say Lebrun took her?
To Madame Antoine's. She's a local. Her cot is quite clean.
And you say she's not ill?
If she were ill, Mr. Pontellier, my son would have brought her straight home.
Well, then, perhaps it's best I wait.
As you wish.
So Mr. Pontellier wait. He wait over at the club where he say a man be wanting to speak to him about some cotton business. Or securities or something.
How many years have I slept?
Precisely 100 years.
Oh, whole island seems changed. A new race of beings must have sprung up, leaving only you and me as past relics.
I was left here to guard your slumbers, and for 100 years I've been under this shed reading. And the only evil I couldn't prevent was to keep a broiled fowl from drying up.
No, but really, what has become of Monsieur Farival and the others?
Gone. When I told them you were sleeping, they thought it was best not to wake you.
Oh, I wonder if Léonce will be uneasy.
Oh, of course not. He knows you're with me.
Where's Madame Antoine and her son?
She's gone to Vespers and he's visiting some friends. He'll take us back whenever you're ready. Would you like some coffee?
Yes, please.
I managed to procure some bread and a bottle of wine.
Thank you. Oh, mercy. I have never felt so hungry. Well, won't you join me?
I like watching you.
Well, when do you think that we should leave?
Well, the sun isn't as low as it will be in 2 hours.
The sun will be gone in 2 hours.
We'll let it go. Who cares?
When they return, everyone be up at the main house playing pontoon. Except for Mr. Pontellier, who'll be still at the club.
Do you know we've been together the whole day?
All but the 100 years you were sleeping. Good night, Mrs. Pontellier.
Good night.
And I see him press her hand before he leave her.
Celestine, you're still up.
Yes, ma'am. I hear you took ill.
Yes, I suppose I did. I wasn't prepared for the heat and I hadn't eaten. It was silly. How are the children?
The children just dandy. They're asleep.
I don't think I'll be able to sleep a minute tonight.
Why's that, ma'am?
All I can think about is tomorrow.
What you planning on doing tomorrow, ma'am?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps we're going to Grande-Terre. As long as I'm with Robert, I don't care.
After Robert Lebrun take hold of Mrs. Pontellier's hand that night, I see them together all the time that summer.
I'll race it to that rock.
Oh, but you need an easier start.
Well, why would I want an easier start?
And she different. She be like a beautiful flower opening up in the sun.
After three. Mm-hmm. One. Two.
What? Mrs. Pontellier, you don't play fair!
And I see them Creoles be thinking she grown because of their manner, and not because the truth be she in love.
Edna, come and sit with me while I practice the piano.
Yes, of course. I shall get Robert to join us. What's the matter, Adele?
Robert's gone, Edna.
Well, gone where?
To Mexico. He left some hours ago.
Mexico? Well, it's impossible. I was with him all this morning.
Madame Lebrun told me he went out with Baudelaire and his lugger to the mainland. She says he'll make his way to Mexico from New Orleans.
But Mexico?
He has to take care of some business before he goes. I wasn't really listening.
Excuse me.
Edna.
You never said a word, Adele. Not a word.
You were quite attached to him, weren't you?
But why Mexico?
It'd be a few days after Robert leave, and Mr. Pontellier be back from another business trip to New Orleans.
It's only natural for a young fellow like Robert to wish to seek fortune and adventure in a strange land, dear. When I spoke to him about it...
You spoke to him? When?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
I saw him on Carondelet Street.
Well, what did you talk about? What did you say?
We spoke chiefly about his prospects in Mexico. They appear quite promising.
How did he look?
He looked cheerful. He seemed quite taken with all the preparations for his trip.
Just everything so dull without him.
Put your mind to something else, dear. Now, why don't you plan some new fixtures for the library? The 2 weeks we have left here will fly by.
course, days never fly if you be in love still. I believe that Mrs. Pontellier hoped that living among her finery in New Orleans go raise her spirits.
What do you mean you went out? Tuesday's your day for callers.
But New Orleans seemed to make her worse.
Yes, there were a good many cards when I got home.
Well, I hope you left some suitable excuse.
No, I simply told the servants to say I was out.
This soup is impossible. Was Mrs. Belthrop here?
Celestine, please bring the card tray. I don't remember who's here.
Ma'am?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And Mrs. Delacides. I worked a big deal in futures for their father just this morning. Mrs. Belthrop. You can't afford to snub Ms. Belthrop. Belthrop could buy and sell us 10 times
Nurse,
over.
Why are you making such a fuss over
it? I am not making a fuss. Celestine, will you be serving the next course this evening?
Yes, sir.
Madame LaForce, Mrs. Highcamp, well, not her. Ms. Wiggs, my dear, I should think you'd understand by this time, people don't do such things. If you felt that you had to leave home today, you should have left some suitable explanation. The fish is scorched.
I'll take it back to the kitchen, sir.
I don't mind a little scorched taste, Celestine. Leonce, where are you going?
I'm going to procure something decent to eat.
Oh. You want me to clear the table, ma'am?
No, I haven't finished.
Yes, ma'am. She shocked me sitting there, eating every last bit on her plate when she usually end up just sobbing.
If there are any more callers, Celestine, please tell them that I'm indisposed.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It shocked and disturbed me.
Ma'am, is there anything the matter, ma'am? I hear a noise.
Oh, it's nothing, Celestine. I knocked a vase.
I'll clean it up.
No, just leave it till morning.
You might get some glass in your feet, ma'am. Oh, your ring, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I must have dropped it.
Yes, ma'am.
But I see her get red, the way she do when I know she be lying.
Your talent is immense, dear.
Oh, do you think so? Mm. I've been thinking about studying painting with Laidpore.
I simply don't know where you find the time.
Mm, it's the only way to take my mind off things.
Why? What's the matter, Cherie? Edna. Did you and Leonce have a disagreement?
Yes. No. Leonce is Leonce.
Yes, Alphonse is the same, but you make it up.
I don't know if I want to.
You have to make it up, Edna. Discord isn't good for the children.
So what's good for me? I love my children, but I'm not going to sacrifice myself for them.
Edna.
I didn't mean it like that. Of course I'll sacrifice myself. Well, I'll give up my money, my life, but not myself.
But your life is yourself.
No, it's not. It's the unessential.
Edna, Cherie, I don't know what you mean. A woman must give her life to her children. The Bible tells you so.
Yes. You're right.
You and Leonce will make it up. You'll see. I have missed you. You must visit more. I miss the intimacy we had on Grand Isle.
I do, too.
Edna, I want to ask something of you.
Anything.
Will you be there when my hour of trial overtakes me?
Yes, of course I will.
Thank you. I don't know why, but sometimes such fear overtakes me.
Well, I will be there, Adele. Do you know if Mademoiselle Reese lives in New Orleans?
I believe the odious woman does. Why?
I'd like to hear her play again.
Well, I'm sure she lives in this city. I exchanged cards with her the day we left Grand Isle.
Hello? Yes, yes, yes.
Miss Pontellier. I just made some coffee. Will you drink a cup with me?
Yes, thank you.
How did you find the summer?
It was quite pleasant, wasn't it?
It was. Except for the mosquitoes and the Faraval twins.
Thank you.
And Madame Lebrun's table, of course.
I quite enjoyed the food.
Why are you here, Miss Pontellier? For I don't believe you like me.
I don't know whether I like you or not.
Good answer.
I imagine it's very quiet on the resort, and Madame Lebrun must feel very lonely without her son.
I don't expect Robert will be gone for long.
What makes you say that?
I have a letter from him.
From Robert?
Yes. Though the letter might as well have been sent to you, it was nothing but Miss Pontellier from beginning to end.
Well, might I see it?
A letter concerns no one but the person who writes it and the one to whom it is written.
Well, haven't you just said it concerned me from beginning to end?
It was written about you, not to you.
Let me see the letter.
No.
Then will you play the piece of music you played that night?
Ah, yes. The night you were so moved. Oh, it's getting late.
Time doesn't concern me.
You're not even going to bother with banal conversation, telling me what's occupying your time these days.
Painting. I am becoming an artist.
Ah, an artist.
You don't think I can become one?
To be an artist, one must possess many gifts. And the courageous soul.
What do you mean by the courageous soul?
The soul that dares and defies.
Show me the letter and play for me. You see, I have persistence. Does that quality count for anything in art?
It counts. With the foolish old woman whom you have captivated. Grand Isle has agreed with you. You've grown. For you, my belle. And now, I think, some Chopin.
When she returned that evening, Mrs. Pontellier looked like she upset. But Mr. Pontellier, he too vexed to notice.
You can't just wander the streets whenever you like. You have to spend time with your family.
But all I want to do is paint.
Well, then in God's name, paint. But don't let the family go to the devil. Adele Ratignolle doesn't let everything else go to chaos. And she is more of a musician than you are a painter.
She isn't a musician, and I am not a painter. And it isn't on account of painting that I have let things go.
Well, then why?
Because... I don't know.
Edna!
Oh, leave me alone.
Yes, sir. He too vexed to notice, but she no longer pretending to the world to be something she ain't.
What is it? Pontellier. Have a seat, man. Not sick, I hope.
No, not sick. It's my wife.
I saw her, I think it was a week ago, walking along Canal Street. The picture of health, it seemed to me.
Oh, yes, she seems quite well, Dr. Mandelet, but she doesn't act well.
How does she act?
Well, it isn't easy to explain. For one, she lets the housekeeping go to the dickens.
Women are not all alike, my dear Pontellier. We've got to consider...
Yeah, but I know that. Her whole attitude toward me... Told everybody and everything was changed. She's got some sort of notion in her head concerning the eternal rights of women.
Has she been associating with the circle of pseudo-intellectual women? Super-spiritual, superior beings?
I beg your pardon?
My wife has been telling me all about them.
No, she hadn't been associating with anyone. She's abandoned her Tuesdays at home. She's thrown off all her acquaintances and goes tramping about by herself.
Nothing hereditary. Nothing peculiar about her family antecedents, is there?
No, she's from old Presbyterian Kentucky stock. Her older sister is devout, and the youngest gets married next month.
Well, send it up to the wedding.
She won't go. She says a wedding is one of the most lamentable spectacles on earth.
Woman, my dear friend, is a very peculiar and delicate organism. They would require an inspired psychologist to deal successfully with them. This is some passing whim, but it will pass.
Her father's coming to New Orleans for a few weeks. Perhaps his influence might be of use.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a retired colonel.
Discipline, even better. Yes, let your wife alone with her father, Pontellier. Don't worry, she'll soon be herself again. Just you see.
When Mrs. Pontellier's father come visiting, I think Mr. Pontellier hoped the old man gonna make her see sense.
Well, how much did we win?
$32.
$32? How about we double this before I go home?
Yes.
Them be as thick as thieves. Their know-how on Kentucky horses make them one big old sensation.
Leonce should come with us tomorrow. Meet Mrs. Highcamp and that charming Arabin fella.
Now, Leonce detests the races.
Yeah, he seems to detest a lot of things except that club of his. He should stay home more in the evenings.
Oh, if he stayed home in the evenings, we would have nothing to say to each other. Whereas this time with you has been quite enjoyable.
So, you've changed your mind about Janet's wedding?
Oh, Father.
Your sister won't accept an excuse for not attending.
I haven't given you an excuse.
Well, she won't speak to you again. If you'll just be clear why you won't go.
I have been clear. I can't be more clear. I just don't want to go.
You're far too lenient, man.
I have my reasons for not pursuing things.
What reasons, man? What are they?
I am not at liberty to say. I can say that I've received sound advice from a friend of the family. A doctor, actually.
A doctor? What doctor?
He says it's psychological.
Authority and coercion are what's needed, man.
My wife needs to...
Put your foot down good and hard.
But Mr. Pontellier never listen, because I believe he know that hard feet be how the colonel sent his wife to her grave. And so the old man leave for Mississippi. And soon Mr. Pontellier leave for business in New York.
Edna, I just don't feel comfortable with you alone in this house for so long.
But I'm not alone. I have the servants. Anyway, I'll most probably join the children at your mother's. I already miss them terribly.
Will you write to me?
Yes. I shall write you regularly.
But I see he fear for her. I see it that day. The same fear I see in old Mrs. Pontellier when she come and took her grandchildren, saying they in need of some fresh country air. And they be right to fear, because it be not more than a few days before he comes sniffing.
Mrs. Pontellier, good afternoon. It's such a beautiful day, and as I was passing, I wondered if you cared to go for a ride in my drag.
Where's Mrs. Highcamp?
We shall pick her up, to be sure.
She meet Mr. Alsay Arrowban and his friend, Mrs. Highcamp, the time she and the colonel be frequenting the races.
I have to thank you again for the tip at the jockey club yesterday.
And when everyone go up and leave her, Mrs. Pontellier be visiting the track all on her own.
Might I be candid, Miss Pontellier?
Oh. Were you waiting for my permission?
I have never heard a woman talk so knowledgeably, so robustly about gilding.
Well, I feel excited when I'm at the races. I feel as if I'm free.
There is much to extol about freedom, to be sure.
Sniffing. Like him, the big wolf and Mrs. Pontellier, like she be his dinner. Mrs. Highcamp's girls say when they come calling, Mr. Arrowband act like it news to him that Mrs. Highcamp be out.
Well, I must have got my days confused. Mrs. Highcamp's girl says she's at her meeting of the Folklore Society.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes, that is a shame. Well, I'm not sure what to do.
And that Mrs. Pontellier go and fall for the trick and she go off on her own with him.
So I traded my mother's ring in return for 12 prize hens.
You were such an ill-disciplined boy.
Yes, I was.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes, Celestine.
Shall I start turning down the lights, ma'am?
Is that the time?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, turn them down except for the ones in here and the hallway.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll tell Joe to see Mr. Arrowband out.
Well, I'll see him out. Well, thank you, Celestine.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what's wrong with her, but it seemed to me she bored. She just wants something to happen.
I expect you get quite lonely living alone in such a big house.
Well, I find I quite enjoy the solitude. In another life, perhaps I should like to live in that small house around the corner.
Well, the pigeon house?
Oh, it looks so inviting, so restful.
Where would you put all your clothes and furniture or your servants?
I wouldn't need so many possessions, and I'd only need Celestine.
Yes, well, there are so many things people would do if they had another life. I have difficulty managing just the one. Well, I shall take my leave, Mrs. Pontellier. Good night.
Good night.
Will I see you at the races again?
No, I've had enough of the races.
Well, then what morning may I come to your atelier? Tomorrow?
I think not.
The day after?
No.
Well, I'd like to see your work. I might help you with a suggestion or two. I know something of such things.
Why don't you go after you have said good night?
Have I offended you? I'm sorry.
My manner must have misled you in some way. Don't kiss my hand again. I wish you to go, please.
Your manner has not misled me, Mrs. Pontellier. My own emotions have done that. If you wish me to stay away, I shall do so.
Of course, he come back again. Until Mrs. Pontellier forgive him and allow him to visit. And I know it only be a matter of time before I be starting to fear for her reputation.
Yes?
It's just me.
Well, well. Now it'll be warm and bright enough I can let the fire alone.
I believe Mrs. Pontellier be drawn to Mademoiselle Reese. Not just because the woman play the piano fine. Because she live her life how she see fit.
Let me help you with your coat.
Oh, thank you.
Chocolate will be hot soon. Or would you rather have a taste of brandy?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. I've decided to move away from my house. Aren't you astonished?
Where are you going?
Just two steps away in a little four-room house around the corner.
Why?
Why not? It's for rent, and I'm tired of looking after that big house. All those servants, and it never seemed like mine anyway.
That's not your true reason, my belle.
I have a little money from my mother's estate, which my father sends me each month, and I won a large sum this winter on the races, and Leopold thinks he can sell some of my sketches. I can live in the house for little or nothing. I know I shall like it.
Huh. What does your husband say?
Oh, he wrote that people will think we've had a reversal of fortune and that it'll affect our position in this city. I'm giving a grand dinner before I leave the old house. You'll have to come, of course.
Yes.
Hey, Have you heard from Robert?
Of course. Here.
Oh, it's been 2 months. Does he say when he'll be back?
No, but I expect it'll be soon.
That's what you always say.
He keeps away because he loves you. And he's trying to forget you.
He loves me?
Shall I play for you while you read?
Mrs. Pontellier tells us to bring out the best of everything for her grand dinner. The crystal, the silver and gold, the fine champagne.
Mademoiselle Reese.
Madame Ratignolle.
I really shouldn't be here. My husband has forbidden it because of...
Your condition? Oh. Yes, I know.
I hear you and Edna have become close since our time on Grand Isle.
Well, that depends on one's definition of close.
Well, it looks like Dr. Mandalay has arrived. Excuse me. Dr. Mandalay!
Adele Ratignolle.
Mrs. Pontellier looked like a queen that night in her blue satin dress with diamonds from her husband in her hair.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you could come. Celestine, please show our guests through to the dining hall.
Yes, ma'am.
She looked beautiful.
I would like us to have this first toast for my dear father, the Colonel. It's a toddy, his favorite.
What about Sister Janet, Mrs. Pontellier?
And to my sister Janet, who was married 2 days ago.
Oh. To the Colonel.
To the Colonel.
And Sister Janet.
We should have a second toast for your move to your new house, Mrs. Pontellier.
Yes.
Why are you moving? Alphonse saw a notice that you were moving because of some renovation plans, but you never said.
Oh, I read in the paper that you were moving on account of a summer sojourn abroad.
It's both, isn't it, Mrs. Pontellier?
Yes, we're making renovations and going to Paris.
But it be none of those things. Because the notices be simply Mr. Pontellier trying to protect his business prospects.
Holiday will do you both such good.
But I've seen the pigeon house. Where will Mr. Pontellier and the children sleep?
Perhaps they will look for somewhere bigger when the children come back.
How are the boys, Edna?
Growing too quickly. I went to Iberville to see them.
So when will they be coming back?
Mademoiselle Reese, do you consider the symphony concerts up to the standard of last winter?
I think most of the musicians I have heard this year have been quite awful.
Oh, I feel a little...
Yeah, you're all right.
Oh, good. You're looking very pale.
Celestine, get Madame Ratignolle a glass of water.
Yes, ma'am.
Bed rest, Madame Ratignolle, bed rest.
Yes, I know.
Oh, dear.
But I don't think it the child she carrying them making her weary. I think she see Mr. Arrowband be familiar with Mrs. Pontellier's hand.
I'll get Joel to take her, ma'am.
Thank you, Celestine.
Oh, Edna, will you accompany me out?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, good. Excuse me. I really shouldn't have come out tonight. It was quite imprudent of me. But it's the only chance I had to see you before the hour of my trial.
I haven't forgotten my promise, Adele.
I'm not here because of that. People are talking, Cherie.
About what?
Alcée Arobin. No one of any standing will want to receive you at their receptions, Edna. You'll be like that dreadful Mrs. Highcamp. Not even your friends like me or Robert will be able to visit you.
Well, Robert's not here, is he?
He is here.
What do you mean he's here?
My husband saw him on Canal Street yesterday. They spoke at length. I thought you knew.
when Mrs. Pontellier bring me and her things to the pigeon house at the bottom of Esplanade Street. It clear she be freeing herself of her husband.
Yes? Robert. You're back.
Mrs. Pontellier? I should have come sooner, but I started in at once with the old firm.
What do you think of my new home?
It's cozy.
As long as I can work. I'm a painter now. I've sold a good few of my paintings. You must stay and dine with me. It's been so long since I have seen you.
Well, if you will let me.
Yes, Celestine.
Mr. Arobin is here.
I'll send him through.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that Alcee Arobin?
Yes.
Well, is he a friend of Mr. Pontellier's?
No, he's a friend of mine.
I should leave.
No, stay,
Mrs.
please.
Mr. Pontellier.
Mr. Arobin?
Ah, LeBrun. I heard you were back. How did they treat you in Mexique?
Fairly well.
But not well enough to keep you there. Stunning girls, though.
I've been posing myself long enough, Mrs. Pontellier.
Well, you said you would stay for dinner.
But I'm not hungry. Please convey my regards to Mr. Pontellier when you write. Mr. Arobin?
LeBrun. fine fellow, LeBrun.
What brings you here tonight?
I've come to inquire whether you will go to Mrs. Merriman's for the car party.
No, thank you. Now you go away and amuse yourself.
I'll go away if I must, but I shan't amuse myself. You know I only live when I'm near you.
Is that one of the things you always say to women? Good night, Mr. Arobin.
Good night, Mrs. Pontellier. I adore you. Sleep well.
Mr. Robert never come back to see her. But Mrs. Pontellier don't seem to pine for him like she did that time he left Grand Isle. In truth, she confound me, because she loved Mr. Robert. But she still pay mine to Mr. Arobin.
Thank you again for finally agreeing to see me.
Laypour says he wants to sell whatever work I produce in Paris, so I'm celebrating. One of these days, I'm going to pull myself together and decide what kind of woman I am.
I already know what kind of woman you are. Hmm? I meant what I said in my letter, Mrs. Pontellier. You have my complete devotion, which I hope is in some manner returned. Mrs. Pontellier, is my devotion returned in any way?
But when I hear her moan soft that night, in a way I never hear when she with her husband, I know she finally be listening to the needs Mr. Arobin sent she have.
Well, looky look. Hello, Catiche.
Robert!
Mrs. Pontellier, I didn't know you knew this place.
Well, I practically live here now. Isn't that right, Catiche?
She come here more than you used to.
Well, sit down. Share my dinner? I shall soon take offense you refusing to eat with me. Catiche, will you bring another plate?
Yes, ma'am.
Why have you kept away from me, Robert?
Why are you so personal?
I've gotten to the habit of expressing how I feel.
There you go, Mr. Robert.
Thank you, Catiche.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Catiche's coffee is always hot. I don't know how she manages it here in the open air. Celestine's coffee gets cold just bringing it from the kitchen to the dining room. What?
Nothing. Catiche's chicken's always been impossible for me to resist.
Sit down, Robert. Make yourself comfortable. I'll go and wash my hands.
That's the thing I detest about New Orleans, the dirt. I think we should take the boys to Katisha's quite soon. They'll love the place, especially her cat. Don't you agree? Robert? Are you asleep?
No.
I thought you were asleep.
Edna.
Hush.
When I was in Mexico, I had this wild dream of you becoming my wife. I've heard of such things. Men who set their wives free.
And when you got here, you never came near me.
I realized what a cur I was to dream of such a thing. Even if you had been willing.
You've been wasting your time dreaming of setting me free. I am no longer one of Mr. Pontellier's possessions to dispose of or not.
I don't understand.
I give myself where I choose, Robert. Yes?
Sorry, ma'am. Adele Ratignol's boy says she's sick and you need to go to her right away, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you, Celestine.
Why do you have to go?
She wants me there.
Well, fine. I'll walk over with you.
No. Stay here and wait for me. Celestine, tell the boy to wait. I'll go with him.
Yes, ma'am.
Edna.
Now you are here. We shall love each other. We shall be everything to each other.
I don't understand what you mean sometimes.
I only live when I'm near you. I have to go.
No, don't go. Not yet.
I have to. I promised. Please, Robert. Just wait.
Madame Ratignol's girls say Mrs. Pontellier be of no use that night. That the woman turned green during nature's course.
I should leave you to rest.
No, stay.
Like she never been and done it twice herself.
I barely see you. Have you seen Robert yet?
Yes.
He was such a dear friend to you.
I have to go.
Does he know about your friendship with Mr. Arabin?
He doesn't care. Robert knows I only love him.
You love Robert?
Yes. And he loves me.
Love, Edna?
That's why he came back from Mexico, Adele. That's why he went.
Robert would not...
He's waiting for me.
What about your...
I don't care about my reputation.
Then your children, you can't think that Leon's...
Do you remember when I said that I could give up my belongings, my life for them, but never myself?
Edna...
Do you remember?
Yes, of course I remember.
Well, I know what I mean now. Goodbye, Adele. Don't blame me for anything.
Robert?
Robert?
When I see Mr. Robert write that letter while he be waiting that night, I can guess what he gonna say.
Goodbye. Because I love you. Please. Oh!
And I fear that she just gonna give herself up to fate. She have the letter in her hand when I find her on the floor the next morning.
It doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters anymore.
I want to tell her she be fine. She be an artist, so she feel things hard. And she soon be forgetting about Mr. Robert. But it's not my place.
Look like you've been there all night. Let me get you some water. Clean you up.
None of it matters.
It ain't gonna be warm.
I want to go back to Grand Isle.
We sure have a fine summer there.
Take me back, Celeste.
It's cold. And ain't no one gonna be there.
I'm so happy there.
Why don't you clean up? Then you can write Mr. Pontellier and ask him to come back early from New York. He can take you and the children there.
Oh, my children. Yes. Celestine, take me to Grand Isle.
So we take a car to the port where we see Madame Lebrun's boy, Baudelaire, and we cross the bay in his lugger.
Mrs. Pontellier, are your husband and children not with you?
No, it's just me and my girl. May we rest?
Well, there's nothing fixed up yet. Well,
any corner will do.
Well, your girl can fix up Robert's room. She can sleep in the kitchen.
Is Robert here?
No.
What time will you have dinner? I'm very hungry, but don't get anything extra.
I'll have something ready by the time you've brushed up and rested.
Thank you. But I'd like to go down to the beach and have a little swim before dinner.
The water's far too cold, Mrs. Pontellier.
Well, I might go down and try to dip my toes in. Could you get me a couple of towels?
As you wish.
A fear rises in me as she walked down to the beach. The sun beating down on her white skin and the seagulls circling. But when I reach the beach, Mrs. Pontellier already be standing in the sea. And she be naked.
Mrs. Pontellier! Madame Lebrun say she have no towels!
No bedding, Celestine!
Naked like a newborn creature, opening its eyes as she starts swimming.
Mrs. Pontellier! Mrs. Pontellier!
But she don't hear me, or she choose not to hear me. She looked beautiful, like she don't care the water be too cold or the waves be too big, like she ain't afraid of nothing. I believe she ain't afraid of nothing, 'cause it like she be finally free.
The Awakening by Kate Chopin was dramatized for radio by Janice Oko. Edna Pontellier was Pippa Bennett-Warner, Léonce, Guy Paul, and Robert, P.J. Brennan. Celestine was Petra Latton, Adele, Sasha Pick, Madame Lebrun, Adjoa Ando, and Alcé Arabin, Richard Lang. Mademoiselle Rees was Lucy Newman-Williams, Dr. Mandalay, Peter Marinker, and the Colonel, David Kahn. The director was Marion Nancaro.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.